It's right about this time each and every year that we have certain time management and sales productivity tips that people just beat to death. So I thought it might be time to change it up just a little bit. And I have three approaches to sales productivity that people really aren't talking about that might offer you a different perspective. And you know what? We're going to go there this week in the Sales Playbook Podcast. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 25,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so first and foremost, I need to remember my manners. I want to wish you a happy new year. It seems like forever since we hung out together and I got to ride shotgun with you in the car. It's been at least 3 weeks, and quite frankly, that's a long time for me not to do a podcast, so apologies for that. But I also thought it would be kind of cool to recharge a little bit, come out of the gate swinging for the new year, and something had to give, and unfortunately, it was the podcast. So here we are. I want to let you know that this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming webinar. When I say upcoming, today is January 5th. The webinar is going to be coming up on January 9th. It's called Playbook for a Successful Year. We're going to be talking about it later in the podcast, but if you happen to be impatient like I am, feel free to pull the car over and visit yoursalesplaybook.com/January. Webinar. Now, right out of the gate, I have a really cool freebie for you. So, this freebie that I put together is really has a theme, and it's all about creating a successful new year. So, what I did was I created a free success kit. In this kit, there are at least 5 audio sales lessons. I have PDFs. I have worksheets. And did I mention that it is free? So if you'd like to get ready, here I go again. It's like somebody paid me every time I said the word free. But if you would like free access, all you need to do is go visit yoursalesplaybook.com/success20, all lowercase. And the number 20, not written out, yoursalesplaybook.com/success20. So let me tell you what the deal is this week. We're going to be talking about 3 very different approaches to sales productivity and certainly time management. I feel it's a topic that people have beaten the shit out of. The same things like track your time and, you know, manage this type of thing during your day. And it's not that they're wrong. It's just that we've heard it over and over again. So I thought, you know, what can I offer you guys that would be a different approach? Because again, here it is, brand spanking new year. It's a great time for us to try new things. So before I dive into these 3 different mindsets, I guess you would call them, I want to let you know a few things. Number one, this doesn't have to be one mindset versus the other, that you're only allowed to pick one. You can certainly pick all 3. There's no rules to this. So that's number one. Number two, I want you to understand within each one of these mindsets, you have the flexibility to go as hot and heavy as you want with them or as laid back as you want with them. So this doesn't have to be over the top. And in fact, I'd rather you didn't go over the top with it, because what happens this time of year is a lot of us come out of the gate, man, in a sprint. And then what happens? A few weeks later, we conk out, if that. Sometimes it's a lot less. Sometimes it's a week or two. So we're going to be running a marathon this year together. But that's not going to be our excuse to slack and baby ourselves or whatever. But We still need to pace ourselves here. So that's enough foreplay, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get down to it. Mindset number one when it comes to sales productivity and certainly managing our time better is you really want to have a mindset of managing your interruptions better. Let me say that again. You want to have this mindset and you want to be mindful of managing your interruptions better. We're interrupted, or at least the things that we're doing are interrupted quite a bit when you're in sales. Certainly a lot of you that are in a leadership position, many of you that own businesses, you know that we the whole day, it's managing interruptions. So let me throw something at you just to add a little drama to the lesson today. You will lose over the next year. So if we come back and we have a little reunion to this crazy episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we come back 1 year from now and you will have lost on average 766.5 hours. Let me say it again. Just in case you think he didn't just say that, did he? Well, I did. We will have lost over the next year 766.5 hours, which is the equivalent of 96 workdays. We will have lost them to interruptions. Now, just, I think it's very important, a little mini lesson here. If you've been listening to me for a while, when you are stating things as fact, like I just did, it's a lot more credible and believable if you cite your source. So what I am using here as a source, and I'll tell you how I arrived at this crazy number. There is one of my pet statistics that I beat the hell out of here on the podcast, and I've been doing it forever. New York City research firm. Basics is the name of the firm. They did a study where they found that the average person loses 2.1 hours each and every day to interruptions. Now, what I did with that number, in the past, I've always looked at it just strictly as Monday through Friday. Now, yes, I've added a little bit of drama to this because what I've decided to do was include interruptions that we face on Saturday and Sunday. Why would I do that? Do you think I'm just trying to get you to see my point, so I figured I would just kind of play with the numbers a little bit? No. Reason why I included it is because I'm hoping that you have what experts refer to as an effing life on the weekend. Seriously, I am not at all into this whole hustle porn thing where people are bragging about working their ass off, like almost like, I don't sleep. Do you sleep? Sleeping is for lightweights. And I almost said a bad word there. I didn't, like, with the P word. We haven't quite gotten there with the relationship yet. But I'm not into that. I really think you should have a life. It's not all about working. But I do believe that these interruptions occur in your personal time. How many times have you been trying to have some time with your family, and then all of a sudden, a work-related email comes onto the screen of your phone? Or you get a text message from a client, or maybe you get a call on the weekend from a client, or maybe you're preoccupied with something that's going on at work and you're allowing that to come back home through, like, different, again, interruptions that could be coming your way. Or how many times does it happen? And I know you can't see it right now. I'm raising my hand and saying guilty. But how many times have we had something where we're hanging out and then that damn pop-up from Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn right there on your screen, and that gets in the way of things? So that's where I came up with that, but it is substantial. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute because not all interruptions are bad, and especially, you know, let's get away from the weekend now for a minute. Let's talk about Monday through Friday. I don't want you to automatically think an interruption is bad. I mean, I've had times, and I'm sure you have, where I'm trying to do something and somebody calls me and wants to give me business. I joke about that all the time. I will take that interruption all day long. Or I'm in the middle of something when somebody wants to hire me to come out and do their sales kickoff. That's an incredible interruption. Or I'm trying to do something, and this one happens a lot, and I have the alert every time I make a sale through PayPal, which is quite a bit, several times a day. That comes over my phone, and I'm like freaking Pavlov's dog. Man, I hear that go off. The phone vibrates. Castain just made some money. So it can be, it's an interruption. It's a cool interruption. But there's also other types of interruptions. Now, again, they're neither good nor bad, but I just want to point them out to you. Inbound calls. How about emails? We said pop-ups. Things from LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, text messages, coworkers, your boss asking for those damn TPS reports, your family. Now, I just want to point something out, and this is where we might have a bad disagreement. But I'm going to invite you to just hear me out on this, because this is a difficult one. And this is why we're referring to these things today as mindsets. Because it's the way we think, it's our belief system. But I really do, I am not of the mindset that everything has to be viewed and responded to in that moment. Now, am I perfect with it? Hell no. My wife will tell you that. I mean, I've been out with her and I'm monitoring a situation. I'm not talking about during the work week. I'm talking about on the weekend. I'm monitoring something. And I just want to know the moment it goes down. Or I want to know that that payment came in. Or I want to know that I could officially celebrate because I got the payment through PayPal or whatever. But not everything has to be in that moment. And so my advice to you is this. Now, in fact, let me just get back to that for a minute. Some of you are very uncomfortable with what I just said. Not everything has to be in that moment. But when I looked at the fact that my day was being taken from me, those 2.1 hours on average usually are not taken from you in the form of a 2.1 hour interruption. I would venture to say that it's all these little micro moments. It's the little alert from LinkedIn. Or, I mean, how many times throughout the day do you get an alert on your phone that you've gotten an email? Or stopping what you're doing every single time that phone rings. And again, not everything has to be viewed and responded to. So right away, you might be uncomfortable with that because you've taken that to the extreme. And you're probably thinking that's disrespectful. You're ignoring them. No, I didn't say ignore them, did I? Did I once say to you, and screw them for interrupting your day, even if they want to give you money? The nerve of them trying to give a salesperson money. How dare they? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that does every single interruption in your day have to be an interruption? Do we have to allow ourselves to go into response mode? By the way, psychologically, that is the worst place for us to be as sales professionals. Part of our DNA as sales professionals is that we like to be in control. Not controlling, not manipulative, not sleazy and shitty. I'm talking about in control of the situation. So if we're in a situation where we're not being proactive, but we're being reactive for the majority of the day, that's when there's a little bit of a malfunction in our brain because we're not wired that way. It's just not who we are. So, again, getting back to my point, this doesn't have to be something where you neglect people, but my thought is, you know, in fact, you know, let me just offer you one of the solutions, and I've talked about it a lot here. I'm very, very big on the Pomodoro technique, which is you set a timer for 25 minutes. And if you ever look up the Pomodoro technique, people are talking about you get an egg timer, or they even sell timers. And every time I read that shit, I'm thinking, like, what is this, 1972? I'm thinking of Florence Henderson and the Brady Bunch, and she has this egg timer. You have that shit on your phone. Just set it for 25 minutes and take your tasks in 25 minute focused bite-sized pieces, meaning that whatever that task is, that is the only task you allow for 25 minutes. So great example is you're making outbound calls. How many times have your outbound calls been interrupted by an inbound call or an inbound email or a coworker coming over and wanting to talk to you about something? I don't care if it's important or they want to shoot the shit. It happens, but it adds up throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, the quarter, and the year. So what I'm saying is, what if you stayed focused on whatever the task was at hand, whether it be outbound calls, working on a proposal, whatever it is. Now, you might be thinking, okay, again, Paul, you're being disrespectful. Somebody needed to talk to you. But what if they had to wait a whole 25 minutes, depending on when they called or reached out to you or came over to you in your cubicle? It could be less than that. But when you're doing the task at hand, you stay focused on that. And you get back to them afterwards. Now, with very little exception, I can't imagine anyone getting shitty with you because they had to wait a whole 25 minutes. And if they are getting that level of shitty with you for having to wait 25 minutes, I think it might be time for a heart-to-heart with them. Seriously, I do. Now, again, I know that there are exceptions to this, but very little exceptions to this. So, and especially in my world, there are no training emergencies. I always make the bad joke. Nobody's sitting there saying, Dr. Castain wanted in the training room. Dr. Castain wanted on the podcast emergency. No. So, again, we don't have to put these people off all day. But maybe take it in 25-minute bite-size pieces. Now, here's my suggestion to you. Definitely track your time. Now, you've heard that one a million times, and I said that we really weren't going to go there in the podcast and talk about the same old stuff everybody else talks about when it comes to time management and sales productivity. But I bet you all the times in your life that you've ever been told to track your time, very rarely do people tell you what you should be tracking and looking at and paying attention and being mindful of. I'm telling you right now, if you choose to track your time, and I hope you do, and do it for like 2 weeks so that you get a good snapshot, not just a week, especially this week coming up. It's your first week back, getting back in the rhythm, like a good 2 week sampling of your time. I want you to pay particular attention to how many times and for how long your interruptions last. I bet you it's more than you think, and I bet you it's being your day is being taken from you 2, 3, and 5 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes at a time. But you add them up, man, and it is substantial. But once you get a read on that and you get an idea about how much you're losing each and every day, maybe use some of like that technique I told you, using the Pomodoro technique or whatever. Get better at managing some of those. But with the time that you liberate each and every day, and I'm not saying that we can get back every second of those 2.1 hours a day, because there are some things in sales that are just necessary evils. But what I am saying is this: if you could liberate back even some of that time and put that artillery fire on what I refer to as the three drivers of sales success, using that time that you were previously losing because of interruptions and focusing that time on either getting a new account, retaining / wowing an existing account, and number three, growing an existing account. See, those are your money activities in sales. Not getting interrupted, trying to remember where you left off, getting the momentum back, being pulled away from money activities. This is where the money is for sales reps. Again, depending on your role, it's going to be in getting new business, retaining / wowing that business, growing that business. So But on the weekend, we said this also happens, because remember, I used the weekend as part of that crazy number of 766.5 hours. I think you should liberate some of that time back on the weekend that you might be losing to interruptions. And not all of those interruptions, it depends on really your life, but some of those might be business interruptions, but it also could be people that you're allowing to infiltrate your life in a bad way. So maybe look to liberate some of that weekend time that's being interrupted and taken from you to focus back on the things that matter most to you. Seriously, what matters most to you? Because it's going to be different for all of us. I mean, if your kid's a little, it's going to be spending a lot of time maybe with the kids, maybe spending time with your significant other. Now, my kids are not so little anymore. My youngest now just turned 22. I have a 24-year-old and a 26-year-old. And, we don't need to be spending as much time together. Life is just crazy for all of us, conflicting schedules. I have one person working retail. I have another sales rep in the family. And I have somebody who's a management consultant. And my wife works in a hospital, which makes it even nuttier. So, you know, we don't always have to be together. But when we are, that time is really precious. And I don't want that taken from us. So I'm very, very selfish when it comes to allowing things to get in the way of the things I value most. And I didn't always have this mindset, but really for better part of a decade, I have. And it's something that I hope that you'll do too. So let's go on to item number two. That one I really feel like I beat the shit out of, so apologies. The second one is, I refer to it as the moonlighting approach. The moonlighting approach. It was inspired by Gary Vee when I first started out, and I've modified it since. Now, remember, before I get into this one, because this one might rub some of you the wrong way. You might feel it's over the top. You're not going to have a life and everything else. Remember, I've modified it, and even if I didn't modify it, you're allowed to modify it. So I heard, and I was like an early Gary Vee fan, and the first time I ever heard him was Success Magazine had this thing where they were sending, back in the day, a CD in with your magazine subscription. And every month, back then it was Darren Hardy, would interview different people on different subjects. And there's this person I had never heard of. Back then it was Gary Vaynerchuk. By the way, Gary Vaynerchuk, who the hell is he? And I read a little bit about a story, how he grew his family business. I think it was from 4 million to 40 million or whatever. A lot of the stuff he was doing was on social media. In fact, a majority of it was. And I was just starting out, and I really wanted to get a grasp on that. So he said something that resonated with me at the time. He said that so many of us cling to the "I don't have time" excuse. And what he said back then, and I want you to stay with me, because again, this may not sit well with you, but we can modify this. He said, many of you cling to the "I don't have time" excuse, but there's plenty of time between 7 and 2 a.m. You know, if you know, you have little babies in the house, they go to bed early. Or if you have a family that's going to be up watching TV and it's a school night, plenty of time between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. or whatever. Now, back then, I embraced that like to the letter, what he said. My kids at that point were in their teens. So what I would do after work on the nights that I was home, we would certainly have dinner together. We'd hang out, watch a little bit of TV together. And every night at 9 o'clock, I would, you know, they were going their way, I was going my way, and I went up to my office. And when we talk about mindset, I pretended and visualized me going to work in a night job. And that really wasn't a hard thing for me to imagine, because back when we had lost everything we had in 95, I actually did do that, but it wasn't upstairs. It was working a 12-hour shift as a pressman in a local printing company. And I did that three nights a week. It was a 12-hour shift, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning. So, you know, I kind of, it wasn't hard for me to pretend. So I, again, pretended like here I am, leaving with my lunch pail, see you in the morning, kids, you know, went up to my office, and I got to work on the things that I simply didn't have time to do during the day. Because, by the way, when I did this and I embraced this mindset, I was a vice president in a billion-dollar-a-year printing company. And not only was I a vice president, I was overseeing a training department. Guess how many people? Well, a training department that was responsible of supporting about 850, or I don't know if it was 750 or maybe 850 somewhere, is a decade ago, between 750 and 850 sales reps. And I was overseeing a department of one, me, and I supported all them. So there really wasn't time for me to do the things that I needed to do. And back then, I really wanted to build my brand. I felt that the battles over the next decade weren't going to be fought conventionally, which was the way I was trained as a sales rep, conventionally. Pick up phones and knock on doors and face-to-face. And while those things are important, and I still do them, the way I looked into the future was that we were also going to have additional things like LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and blogging and right now what I'm doing, podcasting. So, and certainly YouTube and all those other things. So what I would do is, again, I'd go up to my office and I would get to work. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I've really modified this quite a bit. I really have, because back then I loved it. And I remember this one thing that Gary Vee said back then that I just loved, and it resonated with me, and it no longer resonates with me, because you go through those periods of your life when you say, oh man, how could I have really liked that? But he talked about this idea of working your face off, right? Working your face off. And I'm not here to bash Gary Vee, because I think he certainly accomplished a lot, and I still admire him, and I still check out a lot of his content. But he for a long time was really over the top for me. And I think he was almost celebrating how much he was working. And I said to myself, you have young children and you're bragging about 18-hour days. How are you having any time with them? And again, you may not agree with that philosophy. You might say I was being very judgmental. But what I'm really here to say is not so much, again, an attack on him, but that no longer suited me, that type of mindset. And I also had things happen that made me think differently about life. Again, I don't know if you've been with me this whole time or not, but if you've been with me for a while, you know that in 2010, going into 2011, my wife had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she's fine now. We caught it early, the earliest possible stage, stage zero. And it was dealt with, and it's been behind us. But sometimes life gives you a tap on the shoulder, and we need to reevaluate the things that are most important to us. And that's what made me think, I don't know that working my face off is really the idea here. But what you can do is your own variation of this. I mean, you don't have to go 7 to 2 or 9 to 2. You could go 9 to 10 or 9 to 11. You know, you don't have to do it every single night. You could do it 3 nights a week. But there are some things that you can do during this time that you never seem to have the time for. And let me point some of them out. The first one is learning. I hear this all the time with sales reps. I don't have the time. I don't have the time to learn. And the thing I want to point out to you is, could you imagine a doctor who stopped learning 5 years ago or even 3 years ago? Do you think that they would really be able to serve their patients as well as somebody who had been learning all along and considers themselves, you know, a humble student? How about in the legal profession, right? You have laws and statutes and all kinds of things changing almost by the minute. And they decided, you know what, I no longer have time to learn. And they stopped learning 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Are they able to serve their clients at the highest possible level? Are they able to be as effective effective as a lawyer, or going back to the doctor example that I gave. But how about you? Are you able to really work your craft to the highest level of effectiveness if you've tapped out on learning? And I will tell you, and I always, and I guess it's a bad joke, and I won't quit my day job, but I always tell people, if I was part of that mindset where I said, okay, I've got to figure it out, I no longer have time, I would be teaching you all about selling techniques using a fax machine. Seriously, that's how antiquated I would be. And I think it's very important that we continue learning. But also, during that moonlighting time, how about building your brand? As I mentioned earlier, there is a new battlefront for us in sales. It's not just picking up a phone and emailing and knocking on doors and all that. I'm not saying stop doing those things. Please keep doing those things. But I'm also here to tell you that there's also a lot of things that are happening online that you should be a part of. Because one thing I can tell you is that as much as you Google a potential client, they're Googling you. And a lot of people tell me, yeah, nothing to worry about, Castain. You're not going to pull up anything with keg parties or, me taking my top off somewhere. And I tell them, hey, but it's just as bad, because if they can't find anything on you, in a way, you don't exist. Seriously, that's what people want to do today. They want to be able to check you out from a safe distance, from afar, anonymously, and see what you're all about. And certainly, it's an opportunity for you to provide thought leadership. You could also use that time to do some of the stuff on LinkedIn that you wish you were doing. You can start a blog. You can do a podcast like me. How about those of you who want to start a side gig? That could be awesome to start that way. Dipping your toe in the water, 30 to 60 minutes a night. Or if you want to go more aggressive with it, you feel that it's going to be coming up on the point that you really need to make it happen in 2020, maybe you go closer to that Gary V model that we talked about. You can also, let me tell you another thing that I use the time for today. I don't do that 9-to-2 thing anymore, by the way. I just don't do it. But back in the early days when I was starting with what I referred to as Castain 2.0, that's exactly how I did it in the beginning. I kind of started dabbling in that 2008. But once I heard that Gary V interview, 2010-ish, I went nuts into this whole thing. But one of the things I do now during that off time, not during game time, by the way, off time, I use an app on my phone that I believe it costs you about $15 a month. The reason why I had to hesitate is, sometimes when you were one of the early customers, they lock you in at a rate. I'm paying like $10 a month, but I think the going rate is like $15 a month. Worth every penny, and it's called Buffer App. Buffer app, and it's right on your phone, and it's an app right on your phone that you can use for preloading your social media updates, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, certainly LinkedIn. So what I can do is, and as a matter of fact, right now while I'm recording this, I have an update that hit over on Twitter. So I could be two places at once, but I'm preloading that stuff at nighttime during downtime. So when I'm sitting with customers and I'm doing training sessions, I get to be two places at once. So, and again, it's a great time management thing for me because it's not cutting into game time activities. And just to be clear, what are game time activities? To me, it's those three drivers again. During game time, you should not be talking about the game, planning the game, bitching about the game. You should be playing the game. And for us, it's the three drivers of sales success: getting new accounts, retaining and wowing those accounts, growing those accounts. You could also use that time during the moonlighting time for thinking and planning. You can do, thinking about your opportunities that you have, trying to maybe troubleshoot a challenge that you're going through. How about snail mail? I mean, I'll stuff envelopes during that time. I will do some of my handwritten notes. I will put together a FedEx during that time. Again, it could be used any amount of time and for anything that you see fit. So that is mindset number two. Let's go to mindset number three. blending work and life. Blending work and life. We always talk about this work-life balance thing. And the more I go on in life and work, the more I realize that it's very hard to do that at times, especially if you're trying your best to conquer the world. I'm a business owner. I want to keep my business simple. I don't want a million employees and having to take on credit lines and have to have all this kind of, you know, computer network and infrastructure and all the, I don't want that. I enjoy what I have right now because it gives me the perfect combination of business and flexibility to live my life. So I really have to, at times, think about an alternative. And the alternative that I use is blending work and life. Not 24/7. I want to be clear. There are times that when you are with your family or your significant other or having a little bit of solitude, recharge time, time to, you know, immerse yourself in your faith. That really doesn't make sense that while you're immersing yourself in your faith, that you're sending out an email in church or some nonsense like that. I'm not advocating that at all. But what I'm saying is that there are situations, though, where we can blend certain things. So I'm going to give you a bunch of random examples from my life. And if it inspires you, great. And if it doesn't, hey, you know, I'll give you your money back. But then again, you didn't give me shit. So, you know, there you go. You get what you pay for. When I was a youngin', and I had hair, my dad, in the summer every year, would take us on these two-week summer vacations every single year. And I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood. We weren't wealthy by any means. Family of six. And it was back in the days where the man provided for the family and the woman was the homemaker. So a lot of mouths to feed there. A lot of hungry castanes. And I was the envy of all my friends. I mean, seriously, they were all jealous. 2 weeks, man, you get to go away every summer. And the reason why is because Dad loaded us in the car and took us along for his business trips. And he would plan it out, like kind of like, you know, Des Castane World Tour 1975, right, back in the day. And he would load us in the car. We would go to these various stops along the way, usually heading from New York out to like Chicago or whatever. And there was a lot of customers along the way. Now, what he did was he didn't have us like waiting in the car while he was off selling stuff. No, what he did was he got us to the hotel. And we loved that because we didn't have a swimming pool. And we get to go in the pool during the daytime and do picnics and play in the playground, do stuff with mom and tag and all that kind of stuff. And when there's six of you, you're your own little like group of friends, right? And we would do that all day. And then Dad would come back from work like he would do back home. And then we'd all go out to dinner. We'd go do something or whatever. So that was one way that we were able to blend things. Now, just a quick thing. You might be saying, wow, what a shitty vacation, man. He wasn't there hanging out with you. We also had vacations here and there as we got older. And we had a few more bucks. And Dad was kicking ass as a salesman, by the way. We did things where Dad wasn't working, man. We were just hanging out as a family. But this is a nice way to blend things in the summertime. Let me give you another example from my father. Over the summer, what we would do sometimes, again, it was his busy season. What we would do, but he still wanted to hang out with us because we were home from school. So he would take my brother and I over to this amusement park. Those of you from Long Island know that there's a place called Adventureland. And we would go there, and there was Dad sitting on a bench. I'll never forget it. And back then, you referred to administrative things as paperwork, because there were no computers and laptops and devices and things like that. There was Dad doing his paperwork, and we would be going on the rides. And every once in a while, he'd stop, hang out with us, we'd always start off there having breakfast together. A little later, we'd all have lunch. He'd knock off a little early, and we'd hang out for about 2 hours, going on rides with Dad and everything. But he blended some things. Again, I want to be clear, in case any of you who are like older and want to start singing Cats in the Cradle or some shit, like Dad wasn't there for us. No, there was also times where it was totally Dad and no work or whatever. But this was his way of spending more time with us and at the same time conquering the world at work. Another way that you can blend, when the nice weather is here, I know that I like to make some of my outbound calls from the park. How about from your patio, right? I mean, I always kid around about feeling the sun on my bald head. I mean, you could do your administrative things this time of year from Starbucks. A quick note about that. And please, and I've got to think there's some salespeople doing this. There is nothing more dickish than being in a Starbucks or a restaurant or whatever and making your calls from there and speaking above the level that you would if you were having a conversation with somebody there. And that's my rule of thumb. I really don't care if you're speaking at the level that you would if somebody's at the table. But a lot of people, especially people in my generation, they yell into the effing phone. And it's obnoxious. And actually, I said there's nothing more annoying or more dickish. There actually is something more dickish than that. It's when you put them on speakerphone and you're talking loud, and I got to hear them talking loud. That is a leveling up of the dickishness. So you don't want to do that. But seriously, go to Starbucks and spend a little time. You're not spending the whole damn day there. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the things I like to do this time of year, it's probably every other week because it's my busy season with a lot of the sales kickoffs. But whenever possible, I really like to, maybe every 2 weeks or whatever, get over to a cigar lounge. I enjoy my cigars to a fault. And what I'll do is do some of my administrative work. And I'm making my slides there or whatever. And puffing on a nice cigar, sitting in a nice leather chair, just enjoying life. Every summer, I take between 4 and 6 camping trips. And the way that I'm able to do it is because I blend work with play. Now, again, you might be thinking, boy, wouldn't it be better if you actually enjoyed yourself and took the whole day? Yeah, it would be, but then I couldn't take 4 to 6 of these trips. Seriously, there's give and take in life. I could go on the weekends, which if you're into camping, you know that's a whole different world. When you go on the weekend, you have everybody going out there. It's mobbed. It's you get into these territorial things with your neighbors when you're camping. They're putting their shit on your site and you have everybody getting loud and it's just obnoxious. But during the week, there's nobody there and you can enjoy some of the solitude. And I find that the people who are usually there are the people who are into camping and into the solitude. So what I do when I go camping is I don't do it for the whole day, but a few hours in the morning, I have my fire going. Again, here we go with the cigars again. I got a nice cigar in hand, sipping some coffee, man, pronounced coffee where I come from. And I'll do some of my coaching calls or I'll do some of my prospecting right there at the campsite. Now, you know, there's not like raccoons and coyotes like howling and shit. Wolves mauling me and bears attacking me. It's New York, for God's sakes. I mean, maybe I get a loud squirrel once in a while. Or I get somebody arguing with somebody over what's the best pizza joint. But it's pretty cool. The other thing, too, is when my kids were younger, sometimes what I would do is I would stuff envelopes while we were watching TV. I wouldn't do it for the entire time, but part of it. Again, you can do both. I could be there hanging out with them and at the same time getting some things done. So, you know, and one other thing I want to mention about that is if you're a sales leader and you lead a sales team, there are ways that you can blend work and play. For example, your sales meetings. I mean, when the weather gets nicer, could you have that meeting at the park with your team? Or even this time of year when it's not so nice out, depending on where you are in the world, in the U.S., unless you're in the southern portion of the U.S., a tad nippy out. How about going to a local restaurant, maybe? I know plenty of sales leaders who have their meeting at, like, up by me, we have something called diners, which are awesome, by the way. And they'll have their meeting at a diner, or you guys could go and have it at a local restaurant or whatever. But, you know, it's something that I want you to think about, because it is a mindset. Again, remember, every one of these things that I told you, you don't have to go full force with it. It's not one versus the other, and you don't have to go full force with it. You can find the method that works best for you. So there you have it. Three different time management, sales productivity mindsets. We talked about managing your interruptions. We talked about this moonlighting concept after hours. And the last thing we talked about was blending work and play. So last but not least, I just want to tell you, this week on Thursday, January 9th, and if you happen to be listening to this and it's after the 9th or you can't make it on the 9th, I want you to pay attention to what I say anyway, because I always send out a replay. We have a webinar coming up and we're going to be talking more about this, but I'm going to get into more specifics for you. We're going to be talking, we're going to have a webinar called Playbook for a Successful Year. And we're going to be talking about, first and foremost, creating a daily, weekly, monthly plan. And when I say plan, activities. And, you know, to sell more during the year. Because a lot of people know, well, I should be doing certain things. But what are those activities? So I talk about a system that I use for managing the different types of activities. And I do something that a lot of people don't want to do. And when I say don't want to do, mostly I'm referring to sales trainers. When they teach you things, a lot of the time, they want to tell you that do this, you guaranteed success. What I've done with this webinar is I have a portion of the webinar to talk about, well, what do you do when you get sucker punched or you have an obstacle? What are the obstacles to a successful year? So we're going to get into the five obstacles of success, but more importantly, what you can do about it. So if you'd like to learn more about the upcoming webinar, and I hope you do, because I always like hanging out and training with you guys, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/January webinar. yoursalesplaybook.com/January webinar. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.